Guten Morgen, Herbert von Karajan wird es gleich heißen und wirklich kontrovers werden. Einen wunderschönen guten Morgen wünsche ich heute am 29. April am Montagmorgen und wünsche euch allen eine wunderschöne Klassikwoche. Ja, bevor ich gleich begrüßen werde Esteban Buch, den französischen Musikwissenschaftler, der fordert, schaffen wir doch bitte unsere Europa-Hymne ab. Noch ein kurzer Blick zurück, was hat uns das Klassikwochenende vor die Tür gelegt? Jonas Kaufmann hat seine erste Saison in Erl angekündigt. Er selber wird im Parsifal singen. Inszenieren wird Philipp Krenn. Unter anderem wird Klaus Gut inszenieren. Und ja, da saßen dann ziemlich viele, ziemlich mittelalte, alte Männer auf der Bühne im Festspielhaus in Erl und haben gesagt, ah ja, eigentlich würden wir auch gerne jedes Jahr eine Frau holen. Und zwar, weil es gibt ja so viel Femizide in der Oper und da wäre vielleicht ein Blick einer Frau auch mal ganz spannend. Ey, Leute, ist das nicht die missverstandene Quote schlechthin? Eine Frau für den anderen Blick oder einfach auch, wir holen eine Frau, weil sie richtig geil inszenieren kann. Wäre ja auch mal eine Ansage gewesen. Also ganz schön verquer ist das alles. Und da zeigt sich, wie Worte dann eben zeigen, wie man auf die Welt schaut. Bogdan Rosic, dem Intendanten der Wiener Staatsoper, ist sowas Ähnliches passiert. Im großen Interview zur neuen Spielzeit erklärt er in der österreichischen Zeitung Die Presse, dass er weiterhin zu Theodor Korenzis steht und alle Kritiker von Korenzis doch nur Twitter-Helden seien. Dass eine offene demokratische Debatte um die Russland-Verstrickung des Dirigenten ganz wichtig ist und gerade unsere Demokratien ausmacht, scheint da noch nicht richtig angekommen zu sein. Und richtig lustig wird es dann im weiteren Verlauf des Interviews, wenn Rosic sagt, leider würde Korenzis bei ihm an der Staatsoper derzeit keine Rolle spielen und schuld daran sei das Orchester. Also wir wissen zum großen Teil die Wiener Philharmoniker, denn die hätten schon damals vor Jahren in der ersten Zusammenarbeit signalisiert, dass auch künstlerisch hier nicht viel zu holen sei. Wie dem auch sei, guten Morgen Herbert von Karajan ist das heutige Thema und an der Leitung ist gleich Esteban Buch. Er ist ein Musikwissenschaftler aus Frankreich. Und er wird zugegen sein, unter anderem beim Symposium des Beethovenhauses zu 200 Jahre 9. Symphonie. Das Beethovenhaus, übrigens Werbepartner von Backstage Classical, organisiert im Mai die große Beethoven-Sause. Unter anderem gibt es die Festkonzerte Resound Beethoven 9 in der historischen Stadthalle in Wuppertal am 7. und 8. Mai. Es gibt den Livestream des Festkonzertes aus der historischen Stadthalle. Da könnt ihr also auf der Seite einfach gucken. Es gibt eine internationale Tagung und da wird unser Thema auch debattiert werden. Nie gehörte, nie geahndete Wundergeheimnisse der heiligen Kunst. Außerdem wird es eine Sonderausstellung geben über Bernsteins Beethoven. Die ist dann auch durchgängig im Beethovenhaus zu besuchen. Außerdem zeigt das Haus Dokumente zur Uraufführung der 9. Symphonie in der Schatzkammer. Es gibt eine Buchvorstellung Bonn und Beethovens 9. Und. Guckt doch einfach selber mal auf der Seite beethoven.de. Jetzt aber zu Esteban Buch. Der fordert nämlich, wir brauchen eine neue Europahymne. Weg mit der 9. Symphonie von Ludwig von Beethoven. Nein, das sagt er nicht. Weg mit der Karajan-Version der 9. Symphonie von Ludwig van Beethoven. Wir werden dieses Interview auf Englisch führen. Wenn ihr die deutsche Übersetzung haben wollt, ganz einfach auf backstageclassical.com ist das Interview natürlich für euch auch abgetippt. Übrigens auch tägliche News aus der Welt der klassischen Musik, große Essays, investigative Stücke von spannenden Journalistinnen und Journalisten und Leuten aus der Musikszene. Einfach mal vorbeigucken, www.backstageclassical.com oder folgt uns auf Facebook, Instagram oder X. Dort verpasst ihr dann keine Nachricht und seid bestens informiert. Jetzt aber sage ich, good morning, Mr. Buch. Why the heck do you want to change our European anthem?
The European anthem, namely the melody of the Ode to Joy, and I insist it's only the melody, it's not about Schiller's text, it's the Freuden melody, has been the official anthem for more than 50 years now, since it was selected in 1972 by the Council of Europe, and then in 1985 by the so-called European Community, now the European Union. So it has already quite a long history, which actually can be tracked even before that, because the first initiatives for making of the melody of the ninth, the symbol of Europe, goes back to the 20s, the 1920s, and even beforehand. So actually, it's not a story which comes out now. I want to say right away that I don't take issue neither with the fact that there is an European anthem and that this anthem is Beethoven's melody, but only, and that's already something important, I think, with the fact that the official version of this anthem is the one which was made by Herbert von Karajan back in 1972 and which has enjoyed official status from then until today. That's the focus of my critique.
Okay, so let's go exactly to that point, to the creation of this anthem, because you just published a paper on that as well. We will post the link in our show notes. The creation of the anthem was, how can we call it, a good marketing idea by Herbert von Karajan?
The origins of the contact with Herbert von Karajan lie in the personal relationship at the time between Karajan and Lujo Tončík-Szerincs, who was the former foreign minister of the Austrian Republic and later the Secretary General of the Council of Europe. So when the idea of taking the Beethoven melody for the anthem came out in Strasbourg, the Secretary General took the issue in charge and so asked Karajan to perform the anthem. And I insist, to perform. And the answer on the side of Karajan was to say, okay, great idea, but in order to perform it, I also have to arrange it. And that's where the story becomes tricky, because by the time Karajan said he wanted to arrange the anthem, that was something new, which later was prolonged by a long conversation on copyrights, because Karajan insisted in keeping the copyright on the score he was to produce, and the score means both the written score, I mean the partitur by Schott, and the recording by Deutsche Grammophon. So Karajan insisted that he wanted to keep those copyrights, and there were lots of people in Strasbourg who said he should be asked to renounce those copyrights, but the archives show that he said no way. And by the time he said no way, it was already too late to cancel the whole thing, because it was already public, you see. So there was this tempo of the whole story, which was quite strange.
Just to check whether I'm getting so that right. Whenever this story is played, the heirs of Karajan are still earning and the Schott publisher?
No. I want to make clear that's not the case, because there is an informal tradition in the European institutions which says that there are no declaration of the fact that the anthem is performed. So there are no copyrights on the performances, the official performances as such. But since the Karajan arrangement is the official arrangement, that means that the selling of the score and of the recordings are counted as performances of the official European anthem and are recompensated in a way, rewarded by copyright. So the focus on copyrights only pertains to the issue of the score and the recording, which is still a problem in my view. It's a problem independently of how much money that is. But I want to make clear, no, I'm not saying that there is something which is paid to the family every time that the anthem is performed on official occasions. Jesus.
So what is your official criticism there? Because one can say, okay, he was a great artist. This anthem was important for Europe for a long time. It is Beethoven, it is Schiller. And yes, okay, he rearranged it. Why should we be more critical about
it? Well, I think that it's a problem about historical perspectives on how the very notion of a Nazi heritage in classical music was dealt with after the war. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's very surprising in a way, seen from the perspective of today, to see that in 1972, nobody ever mentioned the fact that Karajan had been a member of the Nazi party when discussing the anthem. It was not relevant at all. But mm-hmm. seen from today, I think that when you look at how Europe dealt with the Nazi past, there is an inconsistency in the fact that the European Union was built on the notion that democracy should prevail and the Nazi past should be condemned. There is an inconsistency between that and the fact that the official symbol of the European Union has the signature of a Nazi party member, a former member.
Not just once, he signed the party papers at least twice, actually, very early
yes.
and during the war again. So Karajan really is proved to be part of the whole history.
Absolutely, yes. As we know, he applied once in 1933, mm-hmm. and that application didn't lead to his membership because of an inner situation in the Nazi party after the beginning of Hitler's regime. And then he applied a second time in 1935, and that was official. So the difference between the two occasions is that the first one was not motivated, as he claimed the 1935 application was, for practical reasons, opportunistic reasons. There is no other explanation for his first 1933 application that sympathy for Hitler's ideas. I mean,
and we see that in Aachen, where he was general music director, there was a sculpture of him in the foyer, and the new director of the theater had the sculpture be demounted and put in the basement. So we start to have a critical relation and a critical historical view on Karajan, and it's even more surprising that the European Union doesn't seem to care right now.
Well, that's precisely my point, because I don't argue about him being a great conductor. Nobody says he was not, and I'm not saying anything, in fact, about his artistic achievement. That's not my problem, in a way. What I'm saying is that the official status of his arrangement of Beethoven is a problem because of his past, and also because of the fact that Beethoven doesn't need another signature. I mean, it's Beethoven's music, which is the thing that was selected for the anthem, and that should be enough. I mean, because the another important aspect of the thing is that Karajan pretended to do an original work with his arrangement, but as a matter of fact, what he did was a cut and paste of three little bits of the score by Beethoven.
Okay, so what shall we do? I mean, we have this problem with the past of Herbert von Karajan. We have this anthem where every European says, okay, this is our anthem. I mean, we as Germans, we know that the soccer team of East Germany and West Germany for the football championship and for the Olympic Games marched in together with this anthem or with this Beethoven piece. So it has a lot of history of Europe in it. How shall we get Karajan out of it again?
I mean, I don't argue at all with the selection of Beethoven's melody for this status. It's a weird story in itself because national anthems were supposed to be symbols for people to sing and to join in. And since the start, when the European anthem was created, the issue was that the Schiller text was not a European manifesto or anything. So the European anthem has a rich history, which is closely related to the symbol Beethoven himself and his music have come to incarnate for the European heritage. And I'm not arguing with that at all. I'm just taking issue with the Karajan symbol because of the reason we have already discussed. And so I'm not saying we should have another anthem, or I'm just taking issue with this official status by the Karajan anthem. And I think that the European Union could just declare that this arrangement is not anymore the official version. That would be already something, because it would imply discussing the things we are having this conversation on today.
And we know already that it's not just Herbert von Karajan who is connected to this version of the Ninth Symphony, but the Ninth Symphony itself has been used by Hitler, for example. It has been played for his birthday, conducted by Furtwängler. So there are roots already of this music in the NSDAP history of Germany.
Absolutely, and that's why I'm making a case for the problem being handled, especially in the front of the rising of far-right ideologies and neo-Nazis and all these kind of political actors which the European Union is supposed and claimed to have rejected from the start in the name of the Nie wieder motto, right?
So we have to listen with very open ears to this anthem, and we should actually discuss whenever it is played. And I think you gave us good ideas to what we can talk about. And for everybody who wants to get closer to this topic, again, I can tell you we will link to your essay, Mr. Buch, and you can read it there. Thank you very much for giving us an insight in your work and in your position. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Esteban Buch war das mit einer kontroversen These. Schafft unsere Europa-Hymne ab. Wir werden sehen, ob wir das bis zur Europawahl noch einige Male diskutieren werden. Gerade, wie er sagt, mit Blick auf die vielen neuen nationalen, nationalistischen Parteien, die da so antreten. Das war Guten Morgen, Herbert von Karajan. Ich wünsche euch einen wunderschönen Montag, einen wunderschönen Wochenstart und eine tolle Klassikwoche. Und vergesst nicht, wir begleiten euch natürlich Tag für Tag mit frischen News auf backstageclassical.com. Haltet die Ohren steif. Bis dann. Ciao. Baba. Axel.